discussing the last several shiurim about the highest nemanos that exist in the Torah, and that's the nemanos of Shnei Edim. We spoke about sometimes even within Shnei Edim you have problems. If you have other Edim who are contradicting the Edim, but basically, if nothing else is going wrong, then Al Pi Shnei Edim Yachum Dovar, two Edim is really the best possible bira that we can have. For many, many areas of Halacha, Beis Edim is absolutely necessary. Particularly, the Torah singles out for Dinei Nefashos, it's the Ferish Apostle in Chumash, Yumas HaPeir Echad, or for Dinei Mamonis, Api Shnai Medim Yachum Dovar, Dinei Tzim Matzim Mamon, for Dovar Shabi Erva, in terms of Kiddushin and Gerushin. So also, we have a Gzer Shav that teaches us Dovar Dov Min Mamon. Those are the three basic areas, Nefashos, Mamonis, and Dinei Dovar Shabi Erva, where Shnei Edim seems to be absolutely indispensable. Nevertheless, even within those three areas of Mamonis and Nefashos and Dovar Shabi Erva, we do find some exceptions to the rule. We find some situations where the Torah or the Chachamim let us get away with even less than two Edim. So I'll discuss a little bit about those examples, those situations where an Ed Echad suffices, which in a sense breaks the rules. There are other cases where Ed Echad is sufficient. We'll talk about that a little bit later, Echad and Bisurin. But before we get to that, just within the cases where we would have expected to have two Edim, nevertheless, Halacha permits us to accept the testimony of one Ed. So the one example that comes to mind is the Mishnayos that appear in the end of Maseches Yevamos about the Edus Isha, in order to testify that a woman's husband died. So if you would have asked me, I would have said, that's Eim L'chadovah Shubiyar V'gol Mizeh. Of course you're required to aid them for that. If you need to aid them to testify that the woman got married, or you need to aid them to testify that a woman got divorced, so why in the world shouldn't you require to aid them to say that the husband died? So that's what I would have said. Not only would I have said that, that's what it sounds like, that's what it then used to be. That's what everyone thought. Until comes the Mishnah, and Yevamos tells a tremendous chiddush, that in the days of the Tanoim, a tremendous chiddush took place. That they decided, the Tanoim, it was a big machlokes, yes, but the Tanoim decided that we're going to accept even the aidus of one aid. How can that be? If the Torah says, how could the Tanoim come up with this idea that we're going to accept the Eidus even of one Eid? What a strange halacha. How could you believe in Eid Echad to say that the husband died? If after all, you're required to aid him. That's Chayk L'Yavah that you're required to aid him. So here the Gemara Maseches Yevamos seems to fill in the gap to this story. The Gemara says that there were other factors involved why we should accept the testimony of one aid to say that a husband died. So what are some of those other factors? The Gemara throws in a few different factors. So it's unclear what exactly the maskana is. So the Rambam in the end of Gerushin explains that the real maskana, the real conclusion of the story is as follows. Says the Rambam that to testify that a woman's husband dies falls under the category of what's called the Milsa David Ligluye. It's something that's going to be discerned easily at a later point. If I testify that Reuven borrowed $100 from Shimon, how's anyone ever going to prove that did or didn't happen? If I come and I testify, Reuven broke Shimon's window, how are you going to prove it? The window's broken up. It's never going to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that I'm lying. But if Reuven walks through the basin and says that Shimon died, that Shimon's wife is muteris to get married because Shimon is dead, and now if next week Shimon walks into the basin, here I am. So that's clearly very, very fishy. Clearly Reuven was lying. So that's what's called the Milsa David Ligluy. Whenever you have something which is so obvious that it could potentially be proven what the facts are, that's a whole different ballgame. So the Rambam writes that the Torah never required Edim for a situation of a Milsa David Ligluy. Bechiva Torah Edim, Ella in situations where it's not Epshel Ligluy. But whatever is Milsa David Ligluy, so automatically never, the whole requirement of Edim was never there in the first place. And therefore, the Rambam concludes in Duchas Gevishin that the Tanoim didn't make up anything great, anything grandiose. There was no great, unbelievable chiddush that was discovered in the days of the Tanoim. They just realized that we should apply this principle of Milsa David Ligluye to the situation of Mises Abal, and therefore, from here on in, we're going to accept the Eid Echad to testify that the husband died. So the Ravid comments on the Rambam and says, if you look at the Gemara in Yevamos, there seems to be another factor involved. It's not just Milsa David Ligluye. There's another factor, was called Isha Daiko Minsaba. The Gemara says that when a woman hears testimony that her husband died, so she's not going to go run and get married right away. It's going to, for many reasons, she's not going to go run and get married right away. She's going to do her checking up. She's going to make sure that the aide is telling the truth. Why is she going to make sure that the aide is telling the truth? So the Gemara says she has a tremendous incentive to do so. Because lo yitzuyu, that she goes out and gets married based on the Eid Echad, it turns out that the Eid Echad is lying, so she's got a big problem. Because now she's what's called Teitzei Mizeh Mizeh. She has to get divorced from her second husband, because she's technically not even really married to him, because she's still relations to the first husband. And now as a knas, as a penalty for her not doing her research, we make her get divorced from the first husband also. She's considered to be like a nation's zishah zinza, so to speak. Even though Minat Torah,
She wasn't mezana b'mezid. Neishazis shazinsa is only a suit to her husband if she was mezana intentionally. Here she was misled, but she's partially responsible for being misled. I mean, she should have done her homework. She should have really checked out to make sure the eidim tell the truth. So therefore, the woman has a tremendous incentive to be medayek, to go ask around, to make sure the eid is up to par, make sure everything really happened when the eid is describing it. So that's what's called the Isha Daiko Mitzvah. The Rabbi says that's the reason why we let a woman get married based on an Eid Echad. Not that we really trust the Eid Echad, but we ultimately trust the woman to make sure that that's in fact what happened. And what kind of halakha is that? Isha Daiko Mitzvah. Therefore, she's going to check. And if what kind of an amanus is that? So the Chorah, that's a rove. That falls into the category we spoke about in the past, that whenever we have a rove, whenever we have a very good statistical majority that something happened, so we're matir isurim based on that. We're matir ishishish based on that. We're matir treifis based on that. We're matir a lot of isurim based on that. Whenever you have a rove. So this is a rove. This is, in a sense, a psychological rove. This is a statistical rove. That we have ascertained that most married women, before they go ahead and marry somebody else, are going to really, really go the extra mile to make sure that the first husband is dead. So that itself is the matir. That gufa is considered to be the rove, that most likely the husband is in fact dead. If the woman is coming to the conclusion that the husband is dead, most likely, in fact, he really is dead. So those are the two different approaches that the Rambam and the Ravi give to explain what's going on. That even though we would have thought that the halacha requires two eidim, like all other davar shaviyah, but this is an exception to the rule, either because nosa tevit legluyei lemashachri in shei, or because isha daikamins. But both of these are secondary types of nemanis. These are not regular, not working with the regular rules of eidim. But either one of these approaches may work in order to explain why, even on love of their eyes, that we're going to permit this woman to get remarried.
If these two things allow us to trust one aid, really, we're going to go on based on aid, but two aidim is not a svara. Two Edim is a Xeris HaKasim. So, how do we go get
right, it? So that's what the Rambam, and that's what the Rambam writes, that the Torah was only Mechayev to Edim when you have a real latest HaSafek. But we don't really have a latest HaSafek because we have a Milsa Devil Lekluyeh. But the Rabbi was saying, we don't really have a latest HaSafek. We have a Rov. So you need to Edim, Bedova Shabierva, when you have a Safek. I don't know, was the woman married? Was the woman not married? Was the woman divorced? Was the woman not divorced? So you need to Edim to tell me to be Mavai what the Safek is. But if you don't have a Safek anymore, because Rehukh's Rov is already Paskin in that direction. Hilchos Milsa Levi Leglui is already passed in the direction of Heter. Then there's no latest Asafik. There's no latest Asafik. There's no requirement for Edim.
But if you're saying there's no latest Asafik, then you don't need to have two Edim. Why is it that we say that if all the Beis Din sees Reuven kill Shimon, they still have to go through the whole process and pick two of them to be Edim?
But that's a different word. That's a technicality in terms of Din Nefashos, in terms of that when you have if the Dayanim see the actual murder themselves, so that runs into a problem that how can they ever be objective? How can they have a pasuk in the shal objectively if they already know that the person killed? That the Gemara says is a special din by the fashas that itzilu eidah. So the problem is if this is so poshut that an erechot is believed based on most of the legluya based on isha daikaminsaba. So how come the Tanaim took them a long time to realize it? How come the Mishnah says in the end of Maseches Yevamos that in the early days, the previous generations, so they didn't rely on this din. The previous generations, so they used to require to aid him. It was then the later point that the Chacham came up with this idea of believing even in erechot. But how does the halacha change like that? So this is the Ritva has a little bit about this, and the Rav elaborated upon this. We spoke about this in the past. This is the what the Rav is called the atom bomb theory. We spoke about it in different contexts, if I'm not mistaken. So the Rav explained that if you ask somebody, why does the atom bomb explode? Why does the atom bomb work? So a person will explain to you the reason why the atom bomb works is because World War II took place. And the Americans had to end the war, that's why the atom bomb explodes. So that's a very poor answer to why the atom bomb explodes. The atom bomb explodes because there's equals MC squared and there's fission and fusion, I don't know, whatever. You have to figure out what the details are. Because in the laboratory, all the physics and the chemistry, it all works out that the atom bomb explodes. How come until 1945 no atom bomb ever exploded? How come nobody ever realized it? So the Rav explained, of course the science was there. Of course the mechanics were there. It's just that the situation never arose to actually work out the science. Nobody ever bothered, and nobody tried, nobody succeeded in the last 5,000 plus years to figure out, because no one, it was never really necessary. No one had Caleb to figure out how to do it. But to say that World War II is the way it works, that's ridiculous. World War II was the catalyst to get the scientists to put their heads together to figure out, this is the Teva that was there from Sheshimei Bridges. The Rav said, the Havdol, the same is true. He happens in the world of Allah. halacha also. The physics, the equation of how to be matur and eshes ish based on neirechem was there from sheshem vibrations from the days of matan Torah. There was a principle of milsa d'ilagluy, and there's a din of acharim lahatos, and ruv d'leisa come on, and you can be ma, and there's no leidus asavik. It's all there. Question is, did the shaila ever come up? So for most of Jewish history until the times of the days of the Tanoim, it wasn't so critical. If you think about it, when do you really need an eirechem to be matur somebody, the husband died? When is it so necessary? 99.9% of the time, everybody knows the husband's dead. The time, the bulk of the shailas of Erech come up in crazy times, in times of war. You have crusades, you have pogroms, you have people running around, no one's around. So these shailas all of a sudden started happening. The days of Baisheni, the end of Baisheni. So they had there were a lot of wars at the time of the Churban. So the shailas became rampant. Of you had husbands disappearing, people disappearing, and you bekoshi and Erechot to testify that the person died. So now the Tanoim had to sit down and try to figure out. We have to come up with some kind of a hetter. There's got to be some kind of a way to deal with these situations of agunas that are developing. So they had to put their heads together. They came up with a gaval kakula. Not that Chas v'Shalom they made up a kula. Not that they changed halacha. Not that they said, well, there's a need, so therefore we're going to come up with some game to be matter and agun. Chas v'Shalom, halacha doesn't work that way. You have to go to the laboratory and you have to work out the details. And the equations has to be balanced. And if the equation isn't balanced, then the bomb's not going to explode. So if the halachic mechanism isn't correct, then we're not going to be matter the woman. So just to have some flippant say, oh, you see, the rabbis saw there was a need, and therefore they said all the women can get married based on erecha. That's ridiculous. Halacha doesn't work that way. The only way that it's going to work is that it has to be some halachic mechanism. So what is the halachic mechanism? That's the machlokes the Rambam derived. So the Rambam says the halachic mechanism was there from day one. We've been talking about Roe for the last 3 months already. The fact that they applied the principle of Milsa Vilagulia, they applied the principle of Roe, Rishnaika Vinsava, the fact that they decided to invoke these pre-existing halachic concepts and to plug it into the reality of the time of the Churban when the Shalos really became so relevant, that was the Chiddush in the days of the Tanoim. But to say that the Dinim didn't exist beforehand, that's ridiculous. That's not the way the halacha works. So I'll call upon him. We have two approaches in the Gedolia Rishonim. There's a other approach, but these are the two major approaches in the Rambam and the Ravid to explain this heter of Ein Echad as relates to Mises Abel. Then we find that there's another area of halacha that we accept the testimony of Ein Echad, even though it also seems to fly in the face of a Davar Shebi Erva. We usually identify things which are Davar Shebi Erva. The Gemara says that Ein Davar Shebi Erva Pachas Mishnayim. So usually, davar shebi erva is defined by anything that's affecting marriage. So, what does it mean affecting marriage? So, to testify that a woman is mikudeshes, that's pretty much affecting marriage. You're required to edim. To testify that a woman is migureshes, to say that she was divorced, that's also affecting marriage. That's also going to require to edim. You have other kinds of edus that don't really affect marriage. They may have something to do with erva. They may smack of a quote unquote davar shebi erva, but they're not really marriage oriented. So the pashas advarim is that those things don't really require to aid them. Let's say, for example, a nida, to say that a woman is a nida, to say that a woman is not a nida, do you require to aid them for that? So we know, of course, not. That's the davar pashat. A woman tells her husband she's a nida. A woman tells her husband she went to the mikvah, finished. We don't require to aid them to be there to say she went to the mikvah. So to change of his nida, to either declare she is a nida, she's not a nida, obviously doesn't require to aid them. So the question is, why not? Isn't that a davar shebi erva? That was a big machlekes in Rishonim. So there was some Rishonim who said that, nah, you see from here that a nida is not an erva. That a nida, there's an issakaris for bias nida, but that's not a rias. There's an issakaris for chol Shabbos also. There's an issakaris for chelev and chametz also. You don't need to aid them to tell you that that this piece of matzah is kosher. If an eidecha tells you that the matzah is kosher, so it's kosher, finished. Eidecha never be surin. The fact that something is also the disakaris doesn't necessarily mean it's an erva. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam sheet is. Rabbeinu Tam, the Balei Tais was old. The nida is not really an erva altogether. It's in Pashat Achrimos. It happens to be there's disakaris to it, but it's not really Gilei Arayos. So therefore, the whole concept of davar shebi erva wouldn't apply to nida. But the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam writes that Nida is an erva. So the Rambam holds it would be Yehar Vayavah for Nida, some things we spoke about in the last couple of weeks. The Rambam holds that Nida is a regular full-fledged erva. The question is, if it's a full-fledged erva, so why is there no din of requiring to aid him? So maybe one could argue that it's still not called a davar shebi erva because it doesn't affect marriage. Or other Rishonim explain it. Ramban says that this is Nida is the Yaitzim HaKlal. Now, it can't be. How could the Torah ever have created a model of observing Hilchos Nida to require two Eidim? It would have been absurd. You can't have the woman's going to need two Eidim to say she did a Bedika. It's ridiculous. So the Ramban writes that Nida was the core, Nida was the exception to the rule. That even though Nida should have been a Dav Shabbi Erva, but Lamaisa it's not. Lamaisa, for the purposes of Hilchos Eidus, it's not a Dav Shabbi Erva. So then you have different reasons in the Rishonim why Lamaisa you don't require two Eidim for Nida. Either because Nida was Bechlal never a Dav Shabbi Erva, because Hilchos Nida is not a Rayas. Or because even though it's a Rayas, but it's not marriage related a Rayas, doesn't affect the marriage, so therefore it's not a Dav Shabbi Erva. According to the Ramban, it's the quirk, it's the Yaitzim in a Klal. But Lamaisa, Lecholadeus, Nida proper obviously doesn't require two Eidim. But you have other cases which seem to fall into the category of Dover Shabbi Erva, and yet the Halacha lets us get away with even one aid. So the background to this discussion is the very first sugya in Masechta Sota. The Mishnah in Sota talks about the dinim that appear in Pashas Naso to declare that a woman is a Sota. There are two different kinds of Sotas in Halacha. There's a Sota Vada and there's a Sota Safek. A Sota Vada means that Ashes was Mamish Mazana. Means we know for a fact she was Mazana Biratza. So we know that Halacha is she's Asur Labayla. She would have to get divorced from her husband if she intentionally was Mazana. How do you know she was Mazana? How do you ascertain that she was Mazana? So that's what the Gemara says to Feirish. You require Pishnai Edim. You need two Edim to testify that the woman is Mazana in order to create the status of a Sota Vadai. And we have two Edim who testify. They saw she was willingly, she wasn't raped, she wasn't forced. She willingly was Mazana Techas Bailas, and then she's a Sura to her husband. She has to get divorced. That's a Sota Vadai. And you require two Edim. In Dovah should be a Vachas Pishnai. But then the Torah sets up for us a situation where you can create a Sota Suffolk. So the suffix means that we don't know for sure that she was Mazana. What do we, how do we, why do we think she was Mazana? Because there were certain things that preceded our latest suffix. One thing was what's called kinui. That's the opening words of Masechta Sota, that the husband warns his wife that she shouldn't be alone in a room with somebody. It's a makana l'ishto, the pasuk in Parshas Naso, a kinui as ishto. He gives her a kinui. He warns her not to be alone in the room with the person. And then she goes ahead and she violates his word. She does what's called stira, v'nistira. She goes ahead and she does stira. So once a woman does those two things, kinui and stira, we don't know she was Mazana, but we already have a latest a suffix. That's already a latest a suffix that the Torah considers to be a real bona fide suffix. And now this woman be suffix is a surah to her husband, Liolam Vod, until we're mivar the suffix. How are you mivar the suffix? So the Torah tells us there's one method that's given to us how to be mivar the suffix, and that's the drinking of the Mei Sota. That's the Pasha Sota. That's the whole din of the Pasha Sota, that the woman has to drink the Mei Sota. That's the way you mivar the suffix, whether she was Mazana or not. Again, if we have no kid, no steering, no nothing. We just wake up one day and we think, oh, maybe this woman's an Eshdishah Zinsa. That's ridiculous. Even if an Erechid comes and says, this woman was Mazana, that's ridiculous. It's meaningless. Ein Davar should be Eva Pachas Mishnayim. But if either two Edom testify she was Mazana, that's a Seita Vahadai. Or we have Kini and Stira, that creates the status of a Sofek. How do you go ahead doing kina? How do you go ahead accomplishing stira? So that's what the first Mishnah says in Masechta Sota. You need edim for the kina. You need edim for the stira. Otherwise, it's nishkan kina, nishkan stira. So how many edim do you need? So we pass. You need two edim because since kina v'stira is creating, is part of the process of sota. So that's part of asering a woman labayla. That falls under the category of ein dover should be ever pachas mishnayim. So therefore, we pass in that locha that you require two edim for kina and two edim for stira. If you had two edim for then and only then do we declare that the woman is a Saita Safek, and then she becomes a Surah to her husband until she drinks the water. The Gemara says that this man hazeh, the silliest thing to do is to create a situation of a Saita Safek, because if a person creates a Saita Safek, how are you going to be able to vary the Safek? We don't have Meisot anymore. Because part of Meisota is you have to bring a Korban Mincha. We don't offer Beis HaMikdash, so you can't bring the Korban Mincha. You can't take the offer Amishka, and you can't take the offer Akarka of the Beis HaMikdash. The whole thing doesn't apply to Bizman Hazeh. So Bizman Hazeh, if a person would be so foolish as to do kinui to his wife, he'll do kinui in front of Edim, and then she'll be foolish enough to violate the kinui and go stira. So we just pass, and she's a Sota Sofek. They can never be mivor. They have to get divorced. So that's what the din is, that if a guy goes out and does kinui, Bizman Hazeh, and then she violates the kinui, does stira, so they have to get divorced. There's no way to solve the problem. So the Gemara in Sota tells us that not only should a person not do kinui bizman hazeh, in terms of a real kinui, in terms of real kinui b'fnei edim, You shouldn't even do kino shelo b'fnei edim. The Gemara says it's just a bad idea. Don't even get into the habit of doing kino b'chlal. Person shouldn't warn his wife. Don't give her a warning that she shouldn't be together with a man. Even if you do it b'nol v'nol, he kind of other you feel b'nol v'nol b'zman hazeh. It shouldn't even look like kino. It should be a shayla of kino. Safik say that we would stay far away from kino's tear b'zman hazeh. But again, in the old days of Mishnah Mikdash, so there was a reality of kino, reality of stira, and that creates the latest hasafik. Now the woman becomes a surah until she drinks the water. However, comes the Gemara at the very beginning of Masechta Sota and tells us, based on a pasuk in Parshas Naso, that what's the din in the following case? Let's say you have two eidim that he did kina and two eidim that he did stira, and now she's about to drink the water. She's on the kach to drink the water, and then one eid walks in and says nitva'ah. One aide walks in and says, I saw them in the room, I was watching, I saw from that, and I'm telling you that this woman was Mazana B'teres Vadai. So what's the din? So normally when an aide echad walks in and says that a woman was Mazana B'teres Vadai, we throw him right out of the basin. Aide echad, who are you? What is an aide echad? You require two eidim to testify that a woman is a mezana, that she's a seret of adai. So here the Gemara says this is an exception to the rule. A special gzeres hakosav eidim ba. A gzeres hakosav teaches us that if you had a pre-existing kinui and a pre-existing stira, and then an eidech comes and says that the woman is mezana, then he's believed b'teres vadai, and then this woman can no longer drink the meisota, and then she's mechuyev b'teres vadai. She has to get divorced from her husband. So this is one of the exceptions to the rule. Normally, an eid echad is never ever believed to say that a woman is mezana, but there's already a kini and a stira. We already have a latest asafik, and now he's just taking us from a sota asafik to a sota vadai. So then the halacha says that the eid echad is neman, and the woman is asur labayla. She doesn't have the option anymore of drinking the meisaita, and she must get divorced. She loses the ksuba, but it works everything. She's not killed because we can't kill somebody based on one eid, but she's basically treated as an eishes isha zinsa, and she's asur labayla yel and void, and drinking the meisaita is not going to help. So this is one of the exceptions to the rule. Why is this so? What's this based on? So here the Gemara invokes the principle. It's called Raglayim Ladover. I mean, the odds are the Eid Echad is telling the truth. That's the bottom line. The bottom line is that the Eid Echad is probably telling us the truth. So therefore the Torah says it's not just Stamak Zir Sakasa Biyama, just Yetzim and Aklau. This is the exception to the rule, but it makes sense, the exception to the rule, because most likely she already violated, her husband was already suspicious, and she already violated the husband's tzivoy, so it sounds like she's already, she has a couple strikes against her, so the Eid Echad has a special namonis here as well. But notwithstanding the fact that Eid Echad has namonis post kinah v'stira to say that she was nitma'ah, there is a big machlokes that we've shown conceptually how to understand this halacha. Because after all, it's still a chiddush. At the end of the day, it's still a dav shabiyar, but at the end of the day, it's still breaking the rules that we've been suggesting. So how do you understand the nature of this halacha? So there is a din that, let's say, you have a woman who's who has kinui, and she has a stira. So now she's a sota safek, and she goes in and she drinks the water. Well, she's supposed to. That's the dinner before any Adam came in. She had kinui, stira. She went in and she drank the water. And she survived. She passed the test. So the Torah says that sometimes the water will prove that she's a surah, and sometimes the water will pass that she's a teres. So this particular woman, she passed the test. Nothing happened to her. And then, 2 weeks later, all of a sudden, two Eidim walk in the basin, and they say that, guess what? We were there, we saw, we were watching, and we saw that this woman, Takwas Mazana, that the woman is a surah. So now what do you do? So do you say, the machlek is the Eidim in the water. So the water, the paskin, that the woman is Muteris, the nixim of Israel Zorah. But the two Eidim are paskin, that the woman is a surah. So who do you believe? So the Gemara says, nah, it's not a shayla. You know you believe? You believe the two Eidim. Why? The water doesn't work. You know why the water doesn't work? So we know the Mishnah says later on in Masechta Sota that the water only works for sure in one direction. If the woman is found guilty, if the water makes the woman explode, then we know for a fact that she was Mazana. But just because she doesn't explode, that doesn't mean that she's Muteris. It doesn't mean that she's really Tahor. The test only goes in one direction. Why? So the Torah Shabbat explains that sometimes she has what's called Zchus Toila. Sometimes this woman, even though she's not a very religious woman right now, she was potentially Mazana Tachas Baila, but there may have been other Zchusim that she has in her life. Maybe she gave Tzedakah a couple of weeks ago, maybe she davened once, maybe she learned once. She saw the other Zchusim, other mitzvahs that she did. So Zchus is Toila. So Kodesh Baruch Hu may have arranged it in such a way that she's not going to be punished by the water. So the water is not an absolute proof, the Gemara says. The water only works in one direction. If she's found guilty, or the water finds her guilty, and she dies from the water, then you know that wasn't a mistake. And then the water for sure paskin that she was tamei. But just because she passes the test doesn't mean that she's really tohara. She's muteris. The Torah says she's muteris. So we did the water, we did the test, and the next of it is about zara finished, so she's muteris labayla. But klapei shmaya, is she really tohara? Lav dafka. So that's what the Gemara says. If that's the case, so if two Edom come and testify that she's Tameya, they're not contradicting the water. They're not saying the water is wrong. They're just saying the water didn't work for this woman because she had Tzchus Toila. But in Echidami, if the Edom are testifying that she's Asura, so she's not Asura Labailos. So that's the din. If you have a woman who's a site to suffering, so she had Kinyan, she had Stira, she drank the water, she passed the test, she's now seems to be Tahora. To wait him coming tomorrow and say she's really Tamea, so tough. So she's not going to be Tamea. So that's the Beferish Gemara in the beginning of Masechta Sotah. So comes Tosis and raises the following shayla. What would the din be in the following case? Let's say you have a woman at Kinui and she had Stira. So we pass it up, she's a Sotah Sofek. We gave her the water to drink, and she passes the test. She looks like she's Tahora. And then rather than two Edom come, one aid walks in the base. One aide walks in the basin tomorrow and says, what do you mean? She's Tamea. I was there. I saw. I was watching. I'm telling you that she's Tamea. Now what's the din? So Taisa is not sure what the din is. So Taisa says, on the one hand, one aide is the same as two aidim. So the same way the Torah accepts one aide to say Tamea, the same as the Torah accepts two aidim to say Tamea, because it's post-Kinev Yestira. So maybe we should argue that just as two aidim post-Shtir Samayim, in effect, cancel the Mayim, cancel the Heter of the Mayim, and she's Asura. So maybe an Eid Echad should also cancel the Heter of the Mayim. And Eid Echad is the same as two Eidim. In this area of Halacha, post-Kinev Yestira, Eid Echad equals two Eidim. So just as two Eidim can overthrow the Heter of the Mayim, so to an Eid Echad can overthrow the Heter of the Mayim. And then Taisa says, maybe not. Not sure. Maybe it's not the same. What's going on? What's the suffix in Taisus? So the Mishnah Melech and the Rambam explains the suffix is a conceptual suffix. It's a lomdish suffix. What's the nature of the din that an Eid Echad is believed and to say Tameya after Kini v'Stira? So we know the Halacha is Beferish. It's a din in Torah. If you have Kini and Stira, and then an Eid Echad comes and says Tameya, she doesn't drink the water. So Yesh Lachbar, one could raise the Chakira. What's the nature of this Halacha that a woman doesn't drink the water after the Eid Echad testifies? Is Pshat, the Eid Echad is believed, the Eid Echad has Nemanas, when the Eid Echad says Tameya, even though normally, Apishna made him Yachum Dover, 99% of the time we require to aid him, this is an exception to the rule, and the Eid Echad is believed, and the Eid Echad opens his mouth, post Kinei V'Stira, it's mamish the same as to aid him. There's no difference whatsoever between Eid Echad testifying and to aid him testifying. To aid him are believed, Eid Echad is believed. If that's the case, so then, just as two Edom are believed against the water, so too an Eid Echad should be believed, in effect, against the water. But maybe you could say no. Maybe you could say, in effect, the Rambam says differently, maybe you could say, an Eid Echad is not believed. The din is, Apishtai Medim Yochum Dover, an Eid Echad is Gornish from Gornish. You know what an Eid Echad does? An Eid Echad prevents us from giving her the water to drink. There are dinim that you can only give the water if you have a Beis HaMikdash, you can only give a water if the husband's a tzaddik. Also, yeah, there are dinim that are necessary prerequisites for the mayim to be administered. One of the prerequisites for the mayim to be administered is that there can't be any eidim who say tameya. Once there's an eidim who says tameya, that's a posel in the shliyas mayim that disqualifies us from giving her the water. That's all. Not that the Eid Echad is nemun. Eid Echad is kornish. Eid Echad is not nemun. And Eid Echad is a posel of the shliyas mayim. If that's the case, says the Mishnah Melech, v'med the Rabba Murim, that's when we have not yet administered the water. We haven't given the water to drink yet. Once the Eid Echad comes and says Tameya, so we're not allowed to give this water to drink. That's it. Our hands are tied. Whenever our hands are tied, so she's Asura. She blight the nation's dishes inside. She's a Suffolk Saita. Anytime a woman has Kini Vistira, she's Asura to her husband, with her Suffolk. The only mapter is the Shtiyas Amayim. Once we can no longer administer the Shtiyas Amayim, it's like as if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed at that point. The Eid Echad who came and said Tameya, he's the equivalent of destroying the Beis HaMikdash. We can't administer the water. So the woman remains Visura. But what if we already administered the water? She already drank the water. She already passed the test that she's Muteris. So we did it. So Bidiyavid, we gave her the water to drink. So once we already administered her the water at a time when we were permitted to, we didn't have an Erechad at the time. So we administered the water. So we gave her the water to drink and she passed the test. So the thing is, she's Muteris. Once a woman drinks the water, she's Muteris. unless you have two Edim to say the contrary. So you have an Eid Echad who says she's a Surah. Big deal. It's like an Eid Echad coming from nowhere. An Eid Echad says a woman is Mizana. We throw an Eid Echad out of his head. He's out of days then. So it's over here. She had a Kina, she had a Stira, but we drank the water already. So her drinking the water is Mavatal, the Kina Stira. Kina Stira is over already, finished. That part in our life is over. That phase in our life of self to Suffolk is gone. It's finished. History. Now we have a Suffolk tomorrow. And Eid Echad comes and says she's Asura. So what? Throw him out the window. So that's a very long shayla. What's the nature of the din that an Eid Echad is Ne'aman, so to speak, post Kiddush Yistira? Isn't Eid Echad really Ne'aman? That our Pishnaim Eidim, Yochum Dover doesn't apply here, that an Eid Echad is the same as Shnei Eidim. That's one side in Tosfos. But do we say, like the Rambam writes, like the other day in Tosfos, that an Eid Echad is not believed. An Eid Echad is never believed, ever, ever, ever in Chasaita. The only thing an Eid Echad does is he if he comes post-Kiddush Yistira, he will be a ma'akev, he will be a meineh, he will prevent us from giving her the water to drink. But in terms of nemanus, Eid Echad doesn't have any nemanus whatsoever. So Kopadim, getting back to our basic principle today, is that we have a starting point in halacha. The starting point is that our Pishnai made him Yochum Dover. You're required to aid them for everything, for the nefashas, for the nirayas, for mamanas, you name it, everything requires to aid them. But we start to chisel away at that. So you have, in a case of to say Misa Zabal, so Misa Zabal, maybe we'll let you get away with one aid based on other considerations. This very, very unique situation of Sota, so an Eid Echad is going to have a certain degree of authority, depending on what the Lumbdus is. But again, these are the exceptions that are rule. By and large, whenever we're dealing with the realm of Davar Shevierva, so Davar Shevierva, that's it. Apishnai Merim Yochum Davar. There is another area of Halacha that also, the principle of two Eidim seems to be an absolute. That's in the realm of Din Nefashas. That sounds like that's a no-brainer. Din Nefashas, maybe a Shaykh, Din Nefashas. So that's for sure going to require Shnei Eidim. That's the original Parsha. Lo Yumas Api Eid Echad. So there is one area of Halacha that's not quite Din Nefashas. It smacks of Din Nefashas. It touches a little bit of Din Nefashas, where an Eid Echad does have a certain degree of Nemanus, and that's in the Parsha of Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa is not quite real Din Nefashas. And the other Yom, the Parsha of Yosef, that they say a joke about Yaakov and Yosef, that it says in Parshas V'yigash that Yaakov sends Yehuda ahead l'sachin lehem beis haTalmud to set up a beis haTalmud, to set up a yeshiva they should continue to learn in Mitzrayim. So in the yeshivas, apparently the joke, I don't know whether it's true or not, but apparently the joke they used to say was, how come he said to set up beis haTalmud? Why didn't he set up the Mir, set up Slabotka, set up Pels? Why Dafka, yeshivas beis haTalmud? So again, I never learned beis haTalmud, but apparently they used to learn very slow in yeshivas beis haTalmud. So the joke used to be that the reason why Yaakov asked him to set up beis haTalmud is that he realized that 22 years ago Yaakov had left with Yosef, they were learning the Sugya Vegla Rufa. 22 years, Yosef sends him the Agolos to show that he's still holding the same Sugya. The only yeshiva that they were still learning the same Sugya for 22 years was Beis HaTalmud. Anyway, so the Sugya Vegla Rufa, so the din is that whenever you have a lona dummy come, you don't know, you find a dead body in the middle of nowhere, and you're not sure who killed the person, so then the din is you have to bring an Egla Rufa. There's a whole protocol in the Torah, you have to measure with city, etc. Whole story at the end of the Parashat Kisei say how to go about bringing an Egla Rufa. The Torah introduces to us the Parashat of Egla Rufa with the words lono dummy come. We don't know who killed the person. So what does that mean? What do you mean we don't know? So presumably it means we don't have Eidim. Because if we would have Eidim, then we would have a Rotzeach on our hands, and we'd administer Mitzvah Beis Din. So you wouldn't bring an Egla Rufa. An Egla Rufa is the Mechaper for the Aveir of Ritzicha. But if you have the Mamash of Rotzeach, so the Arts Lo Yechupa Kim Adam Shovchol, so you kill the Rotzeach, if you have Eidim and Asura, you have a Beis Din, so you have Din Nefasha. So the Rotzeach himself is killed. So the Torah says, Lo no dam he calls. So if you would have asked me, I would have said, that means we don't have Eidim. We don't have to wait to identify who the Ritzach is. So therefore we're stuck. Nebuch, we have to bring an Egla Rufa. So comes the Mishnayos and the end of the site, and so is the end of the site, and say, this pasuk Lo no dam he calls, is a chiddush to say, Lo no dam he calls b'chol. It means you have no idea b'chol who killed the person. Mamish find a dead body in the middle of the forest. You have no idea who killed him. But what if you have some idea who killed him? What do you mean, some idea? I have an Eid Echad. An Eid Echad comes and says, Reuben is the Ritzach. So is the Eid Echad believed or not? So it depends on what area of halacha. So for the Eid Echad to be believed to put Reuben to death, that's absurd. But you must have the Eid Echad. So the Eid Echad does not have any nemanus to say that Reuben is Chaim Yisrael Beis. You can't kill the Ritzach based on Eid Echad. On the other hand, The Eid Echad is believed to get us out of an Egla Rufa. The Eid Echad is believed that we don't bring an Egla Rufa, because it's not a low note that we call. We know a little bit who we call. We have an inkling. We have an idea who is the Makkah, who is the Ritzach. Here you have a strange din, that even though this touches a little bit on the Nefashis, this is a question of murder, to identify, did a murder take place? Who is the murderer? So our initial reaction would be, to say who a murderer was, to say who the Ritzach was, not a guy out, he's an Eid Echad. We can't accept the edus of the Eid Echad. So the answer is not quite. It's like pagina divura. It means we accept the edus of the Eid Echad not to kill the Ritzach. We accept the edus of the Eid Echad in order to popular us in a sense from bringing an Egla Rufa. So this is a little bit of an exception to the rule in terms of to what degree, at least to some degree of edus, the Eid Echad is believed. So in the realm of Dov Shabbi Erva, we have a few exceptions here and there. In the realm of Din Nefashos, we have one very, very unique exception where the Eid Echad has some degree of Nemanus. What about in the realm of Din Emamunus? So normally we know in the realm of Din Emamunus, so the Torah says that Apishnayim Yerim Yochum Dov, that refers to Mammon as well. So, there's no exception to that rule. If an Eid Echad, and an Eid Echad walks on the basin and gives testimony, we throw him out. We said, Hadas Baldin, we spoke a little bit about. Shabbi Nafshabbi, we spoke a little bit about last week. But in terms of real Din Emamunus, for Reuven to walk at the Beisdin and to say that somebody broke somebody's window, well, that's out of the question. So do we ever believe in Eid Echad in the realm of Din Emamunus? So the Gemara says there's one exception to that rule also, and that's the Gabi Shvua. That Eid Echad can be Mechayev Shvua. That Reuven walks at the Beisdin and he says that Shimon borrowed $100 from Levi and never paid back, whatever it is. So normally we would say Pishnai Merim Yachum Dover. So here the Tarshav Apeh says that La Yachum Erechad Vish Tchol Ovel Chol Chatas La Ovel Chol Chatas Ut Lo Kam Vol Shvu Kam Gemara Mesef Shvu Is that Erechad Kibim Mechai Vishvu. It means that not that we're going to make somebody pay money based on the Eid Echad, but we're going to make somebody take a shvua. We're going to make the Baal Din who's being accused of owing the $100 take a shvua to be machesh the Eid Echad. He has to swear that he in fact doesn't owe the money. So an Eid Echad can't be mechayev mamon, but an Eid Echad can't be mechayev shvua. Now it may turn out that a person doesn't want to take the shvua. The person can't take a shvua, whatever the reason is. If the person is not willing or not able to take the shvua, then he's going to end up having to pay because the halach is mitoch she'ein yochel l'shav mishalem. Anytime a person can't take a shvua, then he's going to be by default going to have to pay. So it's going to come out a strange thing that an Eid Echad is in effect being mechayev mamon, not directly. The Eid Echad is being mechayev shvua. Hilcha shvua requires the person to take the shvua. If he doesn't take the shvua, then by default he has to pay. So that's the one exception where an Eid Echad can have a little bit of a say, a little bit of a something in the realm of being mechayev mamon. So again, these are all the exceptions to the rule. The general rule is that Shnayim Edim required to aid them, etc. Hopefully next week we'll talk a little bit about Eid Echad in cases which are not such exceptions to the rule. Cases where Eid Echad does make a little bit more sense according to the regular rules, about Eid Echad and Bisurin, and related a little bit, Shavi and Avshe, a little some of the things that we started to talk about in the past also, we'll come back to in terms of some regular halachas of Eid Echad. Then we're pretty soon going to wrap up some of these sugyas, and we're open for suggestions for next topic. Irvin was a suggestion, we'll talk about it.